The morning church. It's always a great opportunity to stand before God's people, something that's not taken lightly on my part. I did want to make one announcement that wasn't read earlier. If you look at the back of your bulletin today, there's a special invite for those. It's a going away party for Haley and Tommy on May 19th. At the Bill and Kim Johnson's house. Their address is on there. So please RSVP to Rebecca Johnson, Brandy Davis, Ashley Sands, if you want to attend the going away party for Kaylee and Tommy. They are moving to Cincinnati. I believe Tommy is graduating this year from Ohio State University and got a job down there. So we want to send them off well, and say our final goodbyes to them at that party. So this morning's lesson will be coming from Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 25. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 5. As you can see on the screen behind me, the title of this lesson is Control, Alt, Delete. Control, Alt, Delete. And I will just read the scripture before I jump into the lesson. Then he said to them all, if anyone will come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his self? I mean, this combination of control, alt, delete, many people, we know, if we, especially in this time of COVID, we've been working remote for the past 2.5, 3 years, that we are on the computer quite frequently. And control, alt, delete is the combination of keys that unlock your computer before you can start working. I mean, I recently read, like, why did Bill Gates come up with this? And he said that the keyboard people wouldn't allow him to have a one-key system to unlock the computer. So he just chose Control, Alt, Delete. And he admitted that it was just a mistake. I mean, it seems like you just think about it. It just seems like this is a... Who cares? Control, Alt, Delete. It's insignificant. That's something we do every day. Let's just hit it, log into our computer, and get to work. But I'm here to tell you that this combination of keys are in the scripture. I mean, a few years ago, I was reading a book titled How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's by Dale Carnegie. I mean, this book comes highly recommended. It's billions of people have read this book, and they swear by this book that this information and training had changed their lives. But after reading a number of chapters in this book, I began seeing a common theme. All the information that he has shared in his book is in the Bible. Everything that he shared in his book can go to the scriptures, and you can find the answers that he's profiting off of selling this book, but it's in the scriptures all along. And I want us to begin seeing that all our life's issues can be resolved in the scripture. No matter what you're going through, it can be resolved in scripture. I mean, you can go to the slide with a picture of the keyboard. You know it's awkward. You know what I mean? It's not something that you got to put two fingers here, one finger. You can't just do it with one hand unless you got huge hands to go over the whole keyboard. It just seems awkward to hit Control, Alt, Delete to unlock your computer. But it is essential for us to hit those keys to unlock the potential that God has given us. So So I'll read the scripture again, Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 25. Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit his soul? So how did I get control, alt, delete in this scripture? In verse 23, where it says deny self, that's giving up control. In verse 24, where it says lose for me, you will lose your life for me, that's the ultimate. And in verse 25, where it says you want to gain the world, but you lose your soul, we need to delete the gain the world mentality at any cost. So the lesson points: give up control, alternate your current life, delete old habits to unlock your God-given potential. So I'll say the points again: give up control, delete your current life, alternate your current life, delete old habits, and unlock your God-given potential. So let's look at what does give up control looks like. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul writes, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So what is Paul saying? Paul is saying that when Christ died on the cross, Paul also died to himself. When Christ was crucified on the cross for our sins, and I have accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, when Christ died, I died to myself. So it's no longer that I'm living for Antoine, but I'm living for Christ that's in me. So, I mean, I knew years ago there was that huge fan craze of WWJD. They had necklaces, they had bracelets, they had everything you can look on had WWJD. What would Jesus do? Think, as Christians, we should never say, what would Jesus do? Because Jesus is living in us. We ought to know what Jesus would do in this situation, because I have given up control over my life, and now I'm under control of Jesus. The word deny in verse 23, it means that you disregard your own interests. So it's not about you anymore, but about what God wants you to do. So in Luke chapter 14, verse 33, the apostle writes, in the same way, any of you who does not give up everything, he cannot be my disciple. In the Greek word for give up in this scripture, it means to set apart or separate. So everything entails everything. That includes you wanting to rule your own life, you wanting to live the life you want to live, the way you want to live. We can't follow God and do what we want to do. It don't mix. I can't follow God and do what I want to do, because when I tried to live my own life, I didn't do what God wanted to do. So having control, it means power, and power is dangerous when it's dangerous when you do not know how to properly use it. You know, control is like a closed fist. It's like a closed fist that nothing can get in and nothing can get out. I can't receive anything if I got control over my life, and I can't give anything because I don't want to give up control over my life. I mean, there can't be two drivers driving with two different directions in mind. You won't go anywhere. You're going to end up crashing. There can't be two rulers over your life. It's either God or yourself. And you know, when you in control over your old life, I mean, you would destroy it. I mean, the proverb writer says, I mean, there is a way that seems right to a man, but it leads to death. Because I thought I knew what I wanted for my own life, but I really don't understand, because God, he's the owner and operator of my life. And in verse 24 in Luke chapter 9, verse 24, that phrase, it says, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. And that lose it in this verse, it means to destroy. If you want to live the life you want to live on your own terms, you're going to destroy it. That's what Jesus is saying. But if you lose your life for Christ, you will save it. It don't make sense. It don't seem like it makes sense. Like, you're telling me if I control my own life, I will lose it or destroy it. But if I lose it for you, you will save it. Because God, he created you. He knows the purpose he has for you. He knows where he wants to take you. So if you give up control and let the owner operator operate in your life, he can use you properly to save your life and do more good things. So we know we have to give up control. Now, alternate our current life. So what does that mean? You know, alternate your current life to the one God wants you to have. The definition of alternate, it means to place or do different things so that one follows the other in a repeated theory. So let's look at a couple scriptures about alternate. In Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 7, Paul writes, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. The thing right here, what the writer is saying, that we have to continually replace our fleshly desires with spiritual desires. My dad always said, when he used to teach the teens when we were growing up, he said, more spirit, less flesh. Junk in, junk out. So what are you putting in? We have to alternate our current life to, we need to be more spiritual and walk in our spirit more than in our fleshly desires. We have to change our mindset. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life, put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desire, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So in verse 22, that put off, it means you need to take something off and set it aside or put away. In verse 24, he says, in that put on, it means to clothe oneself with or to sink into. So you see here, there's two different actions going on. There are two distinct things you have to do to alternate your current life. You have to put off the old, take it off, put it to the side, but also you need to put on something. It's just not good enough to take off your old self. You got to take it off, put it away. And what does God want me to do? Let me put up what God wants me to do, pick that up, and put it on. There's two things you have to do. It's just not taking off. If you just take off your old self, You're going to be tempted to put it back on. If I take it off and don't put on what God wants me to do, you're not going to be who God wants you to be. And this is a continual process and effort. Okay, I put off this part of my life and put on what God wants me to do, but you still might be struggling with something else that you might need to, it might take you a little longer to put off and to put God on. I'm not saying this happens when you become a newborn Christian. This is not an overnight process. You continually take off old self, take off old self, put on what God wants, put on what God wants. It's an everyday process that we have to do in our Christian walk. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, Peter writes, "If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and are again entangled in it and overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them." That's what Peter is saying. Peter is saying these people have tasted how good God is and have put on God, but they are going back. They keep going back to their own life. They can't go coexist. That's, for example, if I would put on, if this coat was my old life and I had another coat and I want to try to put Christ over it, it wouldn't feel right. It doesn't feel right when you have all this on. Sin, it weighs us down. We need to take it off and put what God have for us. For God said his burden is light. What God wants for us is light. It's not a burden. It doesn't weigh us down. God wants us to live for him. Once we shouldn't go back once we have put on what God wants for us. So we've given up control. We've wanted to alternate our current life. Now we need to delete old habits. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, Paul writes, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived." Paul is saying that he is telling the church that, I mean, you used to do this because that was your former life. Now you've altered your life. You've altered your current life to put on God. That's what you used to do. And that put to death here in verse 5, it means to deprive of power, destroy the strength of. So what is Paul saying? Paul is saying that former way of life that had a grip on you, that had control over you, that had power over you, you need to kill it. You need to deprive it of power in your life. You need to starve those old things so they would not rear their ugly head again. We were all under control, under the power of those things before, but now we have alternated our current life and we need to delete them for good. And in verse 7, Paul says, you used to walk in these ways. And that word means walk in the Greek. It means to make due use of opportunity. And I just love that definition. Make due use of opportunity. What is Paul saying? We used to take every opportunity we could to sin. Paul is saying, when you was in that former way of life, you used to take every opportunity you had to do against the will of God. And I tell this story knowing full well that the statute of limitations have ended And it was in another state that this activity took place. So don't judge me by my former way of life. All right, church? When I was in high school, a group of us, I mean, me and three of my good friends, we were out one night. I mean, it was, you know, past curfew. It was like 1 or 2 in the morning. We were doing stuff we had no business doing. So we pull up at a Kroger parking lot. I have no idea why we did it. We pulled up at a Kroger parking lot, and there in that parking lot was a Krispy Kreme donut truck. Krispy Kreme donut truck in the parking lot. And lo and behold, I think God was answering prayer. The door was open. The door was open in the back of this donut truck. So what do you think four teenage boys doing up 2 in the morning in an empty parking lot when the Krispy Kreme donut truck unlocked? What do you think we did? We got a couple of dozen donuts like anybody else. We took advantage of the opportunity. It was the wrong one. But that's what the former life did. You would take advantage of things. We take advantage of opportunities knowing good and well they're wrong. And that's what Paul is saying. We used to walk in those ways, but now we have to alternate our life. As I said, we don't just need to delete it. We need to delete and save. And many of you know that when you're working on an assignment on a computer, yeah, you can easily delete it, but you can always hit, oh, let me undo that last action. You can delete and undo. But no, as Christians, we need to delete and save. So we don't want to go back to our last action. We don't want to go back to our former way of life. We need to make it a permanent change when we delete old habits. And continue along in Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, it reads, "But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator." And that word rid here, it means to put off or set away. We need to totally and wholly strip off our old self and put on our new self. That old self is weighing us down, church. The new self that God has given us is light and free, that we can live a life for him. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. We need to take off those old habits, church. We need to delete them and move toward where God wants us to be. And lastly, so we've given up control. We've altered our current life. We deleted our old habits. And now, once we've done all that, we would be able to unlock our God-given potential. We would never be able to live the life God made for us to live if we don't unlock our God-given potential. Our potential is in God. You know, when you unlock your computer, the blue screen comes up and it says, "Welcome." The word "welcome" appears on your desktop screen. Sometimes it takes a while for it to appear, but we know it will appear, just like our potential. I'm not saying once you believe in God, you become baptized, you're continually taking off your old self, you're putting on God's new self. I'm not saying that your potential is going to come overnight, but with time, God will lead you to where you need to be and live the life that he wants you to live. It will come. In Acts chapter 17, verse 28, it reads, "For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Everything we are and do is in God. Nothing we can do in this world will unlock our God-given potential. Only God can unlock our God-given potential." In Psalm chapter 139, verses 13 through 14, the psalmist writes, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." In order to be who God made you to be in the womb, we have to hit Control-Alt-Delete. We were unlocked when God made each of us and all of us. We were unlocked to be God-given, to have God-given potential. But living in this world has caused us to lock ourselves out of God's original destiny for us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." God created each and every one of us for a specific purpose, to do specific works for him. I'll say that again. God created each and every one of us for a specific purpose, to do specific work for him. As God was creating us in the womb, he was laying out our path. When God had in mind to create each and every one of us, he had a specific plan in mind for us. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, we talked about this in the Sermon on the Mount series, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." We can't have all these things if we're still in control of our lives. We can't have all these things if we haven't altered our fleshly desires. We can't have all these things if we haven't deleted our fleshly desires. We have to hit Control-Alt-Delete in our lives first. So, as I close, many don't want to hit the control button in our lives because they like having control. Many don't want to alternate or hit the alternate button because they don't like the alternative. Many don't want to hit the delete button because if the alternative don't work out, I want to fall back, so I don't want to delete. Thus, many would never unlock their God-given potential. You have to hit all three at the same time in order to unlock your potential. Not just one, not just two, but all three. And if you have any a lock box and it has a three-number combination, if you got the first number and the third number, but not the second, it's not going to unlock. If you got the first and the second, but not the third, it's not going to unlock. If you got the second and the third, it's not going to unlock. You got to have all three to unlock your God-given potential. So how does one hit Control-Alt-Delete? By hearing the word of God, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is the Christ, that he lived a perfect life, that he came, lived, and died for you, for your forgiveness of sin. Believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus is the Christ, and showing the world that you want to live for Christ by being baptized in water. So that's the lesson this morning, church. Control, Alt, Delete. We need to give up control, alternate our current lives, delete old habits to unlock our God-given potential.